Welcome to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and South Dakota farmers are dealing with two emerging fungal diseases. It's called sudden death syndrome in soybeans and Phomopsis stem canker in sunflowers. Fungicides are ineffective, and farmers must change some management practice to reduce the losses. Joining me from Brookings is Fabina Matthews. She's a plant pathologist and researcher at the SDSU Agricultural Experiment Station. Fabina, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. How are you doing today?
I am doing very well, thank you. So let's start and talk a little bit about sudden death syndrome in soybeans. Tell me what that is. What does that look like?
So the sudden death syndrome is a relatively new disease in South Dakota. It was first reported on soybean in 2013, and this was based off few samples that was received at the plant diagnostic clinic. So essentially what it is, it's a fungal disease that is caused by a pathogen, a fungus that lives in the soil. It establishes on the soybean plants pretty early in the season, but we don't get to know if there is infection or not until the soybean starts to flower. So what the farmers would be seeing on the plants would be, on the leaves specifically, there will be a yellowing and a browning pattern, which is very characteristic of the fungus because it produces toxin. And if the farmer pulls out the plant out of from his field when the soil is very moist, he can get to see some blue thread-like structures on the roots, and that's all another indication of the fungus. So this is this has been around in the surrounding states of South Dakota, like for Iowa, for example, where the disease is established. The downside about this is it is probably the number four disease that is associated with very high yield losses, especially in Iowa. We don't have any foliar fungicides that can work on it. And at this time, we are pretty much limited to using seed treatments and varieties that might potentially have tolerance to the pathogen for the South Dakota farmers.
Tell me what that means to use seed treatments.
So when we, most of the seeds that comes for soybean, at least I know about 60 to 70% of the farmers use fungicides, in the form of seed treatments, which means they treat the seeds with some with commercially available fungicides. So for this particular fungus, there are a few products that are available that can prevent the fungus from establishing itself on the soybean roots and promotes very good emergence early in the season. So we are talking about fungicides that can help control the fungus a little bit.
And so this is a fungus that lives in the soil. So how does it spread?
So, a lot of the times, at least here in South Dakota, I know the farmers follow no-till, but then there's always that movement of machineries across the soil that actually moves or can transport the fungus from one place in the field to the other. The other ways is that we have a lot of wind and things, so if there's any debris or something that is getting transported to some small or long distances, the fungus can be also living on those debris, and that can also help it to move. Or it could be any, a human being just walking across the field and carrying the inoculum in their shoes. It could be, it could just spread through various ways. It could be even somebody who's sharing irrigation systems. Sometimes these soil debris can go into the water, and then that can get transported between fields too. So it's by a mix of ways. But the critical part is to remember is if the soil has been moist. Now, a lot of the times when we think about disease, we think about the pathogen is in the soil. We think about planting a susceptible variety. But there's a third factor, that is the environmental conditions that can favor the disease development. So in South Dakota, at least for the last 2 years, I've been seeing a lot of rain that exists early in the season. So if the fungus is in the soil and there is plenty rainfall, then we are talking definitely about disease development because the fungus loves moisture.
And so, and that's this year too, this planting
yes.
season as well.
Yes, and So we are starting to see a lot of those, we call it root rot because the root is actually getting rotted by this kind of fungi. And so we are starting to see a little bit of root rots on the soybean plants, especially, in my trials. I have a few trials out here at the SDSU's research farm in both Brookings as well as in Volga, and we're starting to see a lot of that root getting rotted by this type of fungi.
And what, I mean, how badly does this impact farmers and the yield?
So, you know, when we talk about sudden death syndrome and yield losses, so we don't have specifically for South Dakota, but if I take a nationwide stats, we're talking in millions for millions of bushels for yield losses, and this is on an annual basis. There has been, for the last couple of years, sudden death syndrome. I think the one year I saw sudden death syndrome really bad was in 2014. Last year, we were just lucky that the rain did not really go through a whole lot in South Dakota. It was pretty much in the southeast portion of the state. But I do know that states like Iowa, Nebraska, Indiana was really badly hit by the rain, and they saw a lot more sudden death syndrome than we have. So, like, we are more or less talking yield losses of in millions for this disease.
Okay, so farmers need to change their practices, and exactly what do they need to do to combat this?
So the other one of the research that we are showing here at South Dakota State is the fact that the fungus can interact, or it can associate itself with other factors that are present in the soil. And one of the biggest factor, and it is an economically important pest on soybean, is the soybean cyst nematode. So when these two, when the fungi and the nematode are together, it can compromise the overall health of the soybean much faster than, you know, because there are two things that is affecting the soybean. So it is like, you know, you having a cold and ear pain at the same time. I mean, cold is already making you miserable, but with the ear pain, it becomes even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So same similar thing happens on a soybean when you have two organisms, you know, together on the plant. So that's something that we are showing from our research. So at this time for the South Dakota farmers, we are encouraging them to use seed treatments early in the season. So when I say seed treatments, you know, there are options of either choosing a fungicide or fungicide in combination with insecticide. And if the farmer has seen sudden death in the past, it would be really wise to use seed treatments and look at varieties that have tolerance to the disease. So flip to the pages of, say, Monsanto or DuPont Pioneer or any other seed dealer of their choice, they need to identify varieties that has tolerance to this disease. And then, the farmers are religiously following crop rotations. It'll be nice to follow a little bit of like a deep till or something to break down those residues where the fungus can be living on. But if a combination of these practices will definitely keep the disease at bay.
Now, when you see a relatively new disease like this show up, take me into the research world and what suddenly are researchers working on to develop to help fight this disease?
So let's take the example of sudden death. I started at South Dakota State in 2014. So the year I came in is when I saw sudden death for the first time in my life. But it was kind of, we had a survey that was funded through the Soybean Council in South Dakota. And I personally saw symptoms of sudden death in 30 fields. And what I did was, you know, we had to diagnose the plants and be really sure that it is the pathogen. So now that we have identified we know the disease is here, the pathogen is out in the soil. The pathogen is soil bound, which means it is going to live in the soil forever. It can live there for like 10 years, 12 years. It's not going to vanish like within a year or two. So what we have started, at least in my lab, I started looking at two things. One is to be able to look at management practices that can help the farmer keep the disease at bay. Because when we are talking about million bushel yield loss, when you translate that to the cost for soybeans per bushel, we are talking about significant loss for that farmer. So my research currently, we are looking at management strategies. So I'm looking at seed treatments. I have a graduate student who is actually screening some of the soybean varieties belonging to early maturity group for resistance to the sudden death syndrome pathogen. So these are the two things that we got started with. The research is ongoing at this time, so we are hoping that we can get some more data as we go along.
Let's transition into the other fungal disease, and that is in sunflowers.
Yes. So sunflower, the Phomopsis stem canker has been the number one disease, at least in South Dakota. So this disease, it reemerged on sunflower after 20 to 25 years it was first described in the United States. So it was first described in the United States in 1980, and then it came back in 2010 in the form of an epidemic. And it essentially, the farmers and the industry, that is the private companies, were reporting yield losses of about 50%, and they were seeing Phomopsis all over the place. So all over the place is not just in South Dakota, but also North Dakota and Minnesota. So this is what I did my doctoral degree on, and one of the things that we identified at that time is we also identified a new pathogen on sunflower that was new to the United States, which means the pathogen was not reported in the past. So we have a few hypotheses on how the pathogen would have got to the United States, but, you know, that is all a lot of our speculation. Like maybe it was always here, but nobody cared much for it until the yield losses started happening and the farmers started to compromise. Started to talk about the pathogen compromising the yield loss. So Phomopsis, at least based on a survey that was done through the National Sunflower Association, they are still reporting fields where that has been compromised from the disease. And at this time, we have very limited management options. There are very few hybrids in the U.S. that has complete that has tolerance to the disease. So when I say tolerance, means there is nothing that has complete resistance to it, which means if the farmer plants it, we are still going to see some level of yield losses. We don't have a whole lot of management options as far as using it with fungicides. Fungicide options at this time, we have few that are labeled on sunflower that can protect the sunflower from the disease. But if your timing is not right, or if you're using the fungicide after the disease has occurred, then there's very little that you can do. You have essentially lost your crop to the disease.
And exactly what happens to the sunflower with this disease?
So this disease is also caused by a fungus that lives in the soil. We tend to see the symptoms caused by this fungus in the early reproductive stages of the sunflower. So, you know, when the bud starts to form. So what happens is the infection starts on the sunflower plant on the leaf, and then it starts slowly spreading to the sunflower plant. So towards late into the season, especially after the flowering has happened, you would start to see the sunflowers lodging and wilting. Sometimes it appears stunted, but worst comes, what happens is it just lodges and the sunflower just falls off to the ground. So if you have, like, say, half an acre or more, depending on how much you plant, and you see a lot of this sunflowers wilting and lodging, then it is mostly from this disease.
So what happens then when, farmers rotate crops on fields that may have this fungus living in the soil? Will it then attack the next crop as well?
Right. So, if I have to answer generally, there are a few pathogens that are very crop specific, which means it can attack only certain crops. But there are very there are others out there that have a very broad host range. So something like, the Phomopsis fungus or the Fusarium fungus, they all have a broad host range, which means they can even infect the crop that you might be planting after the sunflower or after the soybean. So in the case of sunflowers, the Phomopsis fungus, it likes to not only live on the sunflower, but it also likes to attack the weeds that might be around it. You know, there might be other plants that might be present in the same field. But these are pathogens that will continue to live in the soil for at least 3 to 5 years or, as long as 10 years. And even if the crop rotation is being done, it's only going to reduce the fungal population in the soil. It's not going to kill the fungus. So by religiously following crop rotation, like, for example, in the case of sunflower, we typically tell the farmers, get back to sunflower maybe after 2 or 3 years, at least 3 years, if you can maintain that spacing between the sunflower crops, that can reduce the amount of fungus that is present in the soil. So there is always that conception out there that I'm doing raw crop rotation, so, everything should die in the soil. No, nothing is dying in the soil. It is only just allowing the fungus to kind of, be inactive when it does not get the host of its choice.
So then when you rotate back, then it becomes active.
Then it becomes active, provided the farmer has used something that is very susceptible to the pathogen and, you know, conditions are favorable. So even in the case of sunflower, we're talking about this kind of weather where it is very wet and, you know, it, and the farmer plants something susceptible, the fungus is just going to do its job. So it's been a problem. It's not just a problem in the United States, but there has been epidemics reported out of Russia, Australia. So it has more of an international implication at this time. So,
and very little that you can do, but treat it when you.
So for my research now, we are kind of doing two things. One, we are trying to evaluate the management options available to the farmers. So we are kind of evaluating what is currently available to them. So we have few fungicides that are labeled on sunflowers. We are, at least my research, I'm also working with the sunflower companies, and so we're trying to get some seeds that they think has got resistance under natural conditions, and, you know, we're trying to test that under greenhouse to be really sure that it has resistance. So we're trying to evaluate both chemicals as well as some varieties that might be available to the farmer in the near future to plant. The other thing we're looking at is potentially developing some sort of a disease forecasting model so that the farmer knows exactly when to go and spray for this disease. And the advantage of having this disease forecasting model is, of course, you know, the input cost can go lower because fungicide applications can be expensive depending on what kind of chemical you use. And you want to use it at a time that you know it's going to be effective against the pathogen. Otherwise, their efforts are going to be wasted, especially for a crop like sunflower when you know, the coverage can be very difficult to get and when it's going to be difficult to spray. So.
And is this something that farmers are well-versed in, or are you still getting a lot of questions?
You know, both. We did get it to the radar of the farmers, and they're aware that Phomopsis stem canker of sunflower is a huge problem. And I've been invited by the National Sunflower Association. They have a summer seminar in Bismarck, North Dakota, end of this month, and I will be educating the farmers as well as the private companies more about this disease and give them an update on what we have found so far for the disease. So the research is being done just not in collaboration, you know, just within my research program, but I also work with the farmers directly while I'm trying to evaluate fungicides and varieties that might have resistance to the fungus. I also work with the industry. So while we're doing the research, the education portion is also happening, you know. So it's like it's happening parallel as opposed to having finished the research and then telling them what we did.
Mm-hmm. So it's just giving regular updates.
Right. Yeah. So they see what I'm doing out in the fields when I go spray fungicides or when the disease is happening. You know, they tend to follow me and they find out, okay, this is what it looks like and this is what I'm trying to do to help manage the disease. So I'm educating while I'm doing the research.
Okay. Fabina, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Innovation Today and explaining this to us. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate that too. So thanks for your time.